The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Israel's expanded offensive into Hezbollah territory in southern Lebanon is underway. 15 Israeli soldiers died in today's fighting. It's the middle of the night now when artillery does most of the work. CBS's Robert Berger.
The ground offensive comes a day after the Israeli Army Chief of Staff effectively dismissed the head of Northern Command, the one who's been running this war. Clearly a message that the head of the military, wasn't happy with the way things are going. And now, with the new person in command in the north, it seems that the operation is picking up steam.
Hours ago, Hezbollah's leader called for Lebanese troops to handle the ceasefire. And CBS's Kristen Gillespie says he made more threats against Israel.
Nasrallah called on all Arab residents to leave the Israeli city of Haifa, saying that if Israel continued its attacks on Lebanon, that Hezbollah would retaliate strongly and with force against the city of Haifa.
Taking the first steps on the road to recovery for four-year-old twins, Kendra and Malia Heron, unjoined by surgeons yesterday. For grateful parents, Jake and Aaron, thanks, Doc.
It is because of them that our girls are doing so well right now, and we like to thank them.
Yesterday, Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd supported Joe Lieberman for re-election. Then Lieberman lost.
This morning, I'm endorsing Ned Lamont for the United States Senate to be our candidate and to be the next United States Senator.
That's Senator Dodd. Joe Lieberman has already filed to run as an independent, hoping to keep his seat, saying leadership is about more than just the war. Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has been ousted by her party in yesterday's primary. Her episode with Capitol Hill police was the final punctuation in her unusual political career. Three of the 11 Egyptian students who've been playing hooky from college have turned up so far.
It's been a busy day in the search for 11 missing Egyptian students. One was taken into custody in Minneapolis, and two more have turned themselves into the police in Manville, New Jersey. The student visas they secured to study at Montana State University are being revoked because the men disappeared after arriving in New York. Federal officials continue to stress that despite the nationwide manhunt, there is no indication of any threat.
That's CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis. Those students will be going home if they don't wind up in jail. Curiosity killed the cat and the guy who wanted to see the inside of an RPG. In Brazil, police say a man tried to open a rocket-propelled grenade in his mechanical workshop on the edge of Rio de Janeiro. But it was stubborn, wouldn't easily come apart, so he gave it a whack with a small sledgehammer. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 97 points to close at 11,076, NASDAQ off a fraction. This is CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Jesse emails, Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse. $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited. Store visit required. See store for details.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
Thieves are stripping trees now to get at the money inside.
Spurred on by the budding popularity of herbal remedies, poachers are stripping bark off trees and pulling plants from the ground. Botanist David Taylor works at the Daniel Boone National Forest in eastern Kentucky.
Many of these products are permitted on national forest lands with permits. The collection is permitted. Other public land that is not permitted, usually state parks, national parks.
Herbal remedies are included with dietary supplements, which are a $23 billion industry in the U.S. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A Montana man, fired for using the computer at work to access a child pornography database, challenged it in federal court. He argued his privacy rights had been violated. The Ninth Circuit ruled, in short, no, you were using your boss's computer on the job, wasting time you were being paid for and looking at kiddie porn to boot. You're still fired. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. Come in now and get great savings on Goodyear and Michelin tires during our national automotive sale. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LNZ 2606.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Collins.
Ready? Steady? Let's go! Vamanos! It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live all the way en vivo. From the left coast to great radio stations in Monterey, Eureka, Phoenix, and Sacramento, wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm glad you're there with us. We got a lot to talk about today, celebrating the Connecticut primary victory of Ned Lamont over Joe Lieberman. And in our first hour, we're going to talk about oil, gasoline prices, and an interesting ballot measure that voters will take a look at this November in California that would put a $4 billion tax on oil companies to support the development of alternative fuels. But first up, we're going to get an overview on the world oil situation from Tom Mast. He's written a book called Over a Barrel. He'll join us in a moment. Coming up next hour, Sybil Edmonds, one of my favorite Americans, a whistleblower who has formed the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. She'll be joining us to talk about the aborted plan for testimony from Russell Tice about NSA activities, spying on Americans, presumably. We'll discuss that and also meet Tom Devine. He's the legal director of the Government Accountability Project and a whistleblower himself. Also on the program, a powerful commentary today from Larissa Alexandrovna, who reacts as an American Jew to Mel Gibson's drunken slurs and says she's found things far more offensive in the public domain. She'll share that with us coming up in about 90 minutes. And we'll kick off the free speech zone in our third hour today with a live report on the Connecticut primary. Ari Melber from The Nation will join us. And we'll talk about the extent to which the blogosphere is responsible for this important electoral victory. If at any moment you desire to join the conversation, I welcome your participation. And I'll even pay for the call. We have a toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-5-PETER-B. Or all digitally, 888-573-8372. If you prefer email, you can drop me a note 24-7. peter@peterbcollins.com or humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Either way, it'll get to me. Our first guest is the author of a little book, but it's little only in dimensions, not in its content. It's got powerful information that even a layperson like me can understand about the complex world of oil, particularly on a global basis today. Tom Mast is the author of Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage, and he picked up a mechanical engineering degree over on the farm at Stanford and then an MBA from the Harvard Business School, and right there, he's smarter than I am. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you.
What do you drive, where do you live, and what are you paying for a gallon of gas?
Well, I live in Austin, Texas. I'm driving a Buick, and I pay about $2.85 for the lowest grade of gasoline.
All right. I just filled up for $3.26 the other day with unleaded regular out here in California. So we're paying a little bit more, I guess, than many people across the nation, but we shouldn't get too wrapped up in feeling sorry for ourselves, I suppose. Tom, why did you write the book?
Well, I wrote it for two reasons. First, I think that this whole oil and energy situation and all the international politics that go with it are pretty complex, and I was trying to get my hands around it, and I decided that I would just condense it into a book that anyone could read in an hour or two, mm-hmm. and have a good understanding, a balanced factual understanding of the situation, because it's of course it's already affecting our lives, but it's going to affect our lives a lot more in the years to come.
Tom, in the introduction I mentioned your engineering degree and your MBA. Was there a single individual who helped explain oil to you better than anyone else over your career, either as a student or in the real world?
No, no one stands out. There have been a lot of good...
Oh, books. Come on. I want a story. I just imagine there's some grizzled old guy who pulled out a divining rod in the middle of the desert and drew a little map and said, this is how it all works, son.
Well, I've had some exposure to the oil industry. I grew up in Midland, Texas, and I've roughnecked on a drilling rig, and I've been aroused about, and I worked for an oil tool company. But I've also been in manufacturing and engineering and in new product development, and I think... since oil is beginning to get more scarce around the world, what's needed is people who are focused on new product development, focused on solving the problems that we have, and they're serious technical problems with nuclear fusion or nuclear waste or better batteries for electric cars or hydrogen, mm-hmm. Solar energy and wind energy. All of these alternative sources of energy have serious technical problems.
Indeed.
And our transportation is the toughest problem. 97% of our transportation fuels come from oil. And there's a good reason for that. Oil is liquid. It's easy to pump into the tank of your car. And it provides an awful lot of energy in a small volume. Just try to imagine driving into a filling station and filling up with wind energy or nuclear energy or coal. It's just not very practical.
Mm-hmm.
But if we did have better batteries, one bright spot, I believe, is electric cars, because or even what are called plug-in hybrids that are mostly electric.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we have the choice of using any of the sources of energy to generate that electric power. In Washington State, we might use hydroelectric power.
Mm-hmm.
In Nevada, we might use nuclear power. And in Texas, we might burn coal or natural gas to generate that electric power. So it would give us the flexibility that we don't have with gasoline fueling our cars.
Let me ask a real oil man from Midland, Texas. What do you think of George W. Bush? Is he an oil man?
Well, pardon me. He was in the oil business. He actually grew up in Midland, as you know, and his father taught Sunday school in my church there. I'm disappointed in what's happened in this administration, and particularly in energy. There doesn't seem, seem to be the focus on alternatives that I think there needs to be, or on conservation.
No, it seems the alternatives they're exploring are $4 a gallon gasoline prices.
Well, yeah, and record profits for the
oil refiners.
He talks about hydrogen at one State of the Union speech, and many people think hydrogen will be decades fueling cars if it ever does. It really has some very serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about solar energy and wind energy, and those things just aren't scalable enough to replace oil. Oil supplies 30 8% of all the energy in the world, and 90, as I mentioned before, 97% of our transportation energy. So it's not good enough just to have something that will work. Then it has to be economic, and then it has to be scalable up to huge quantities. The world is burning about 85 million barrels a day of oil. There's been a recent book called 1,000 Barrels a Second, and the person that wrote that book got that title from the fact that if you multiply it out, 86 million barrels a day comes out to be 1,000 barrels a second, approximately. So we're on the verge of worldwide of burning 1,000 barrels, and a barrel is 42 gallons a second of oil day and night, and ever increasing. And unfortunately, worldwide supplies are just on the ragged edge of not being able to keep up with that demand. So then we have a little problem, whether it's Iraq or Iran or a pipeline in Alaska or a hurricane, and because the worldwide capacity to supply oil is only around a couple of million barrels a day, more than the 85 million barrels a day that we're using, the prices leap up every time there's any sort of an incident that might damage our supply.
That's Tom Mast. His book is called Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. Tom, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I want you to educate me a little bit. I want to ask you some very specific questions about the world oil supply today and how it filters down, trickles down, to the cost of a gallon of gas for you and me at the pump. And I also want to talk about the potential impact of this Prudhoe Bay production, hiatus announcement by BP because of corrosion in the pipelines. So we'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or a comment for Tom Mast about oil, you can get on the line right now. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, toll-free. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Monterey Tile reminds us, thousands of children that were safe at home a year ago are missing today. Parents, for the safety of your children, have a heart-to-heart talk about what to do if approached by a stranger. It could prevent a child abduction. If you or anyone you know has any information regarding a missing child, call your local authorities. This message is brought to you by Monterey Tile. For all your custom tile work, call 831-655-3082. That's 655-3082.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mercury Milan, my first time in this five-passenger, four-door, mid-size car. My demo has a 3-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a six-speed automatic, delivering plenty of power and acceleration. It has good traction, holds the road well, and handles with ease. The ride is a little bumpier than I expected, and the turning radius is pretty big for a car this size. Inside, it's got good legroom and headroom, and my demo has a good package of accessories and safety features. The Milan is assembled in Mexico, which helps explain the lower price tag. Before you buy a Camry, Maxima, or Malibu, give the Mercury Milan a test drive. By the numbers, the 2006 Mercury Milan gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, 21 minutes past the hour. We continue our conversation with Tom Mast. He's the author of Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. And we'll continue this theme into the next segment. We'll be joined by Yousef Rob. He's the communications director for California Proposition 87, the Yes on 87 side. And he'll detail us some plans to pass this ballot measure in November, which would impose a total of $4 billion in taxes on the oil company over, I think, a 10-year period to help fund the development of alternative fuels here in the Golden State of California. Tom Mast, I wanted to ask you just some kind of basic questions about how the whole world oil market works. For example, first of all, is there currently a shortage of crude oil on the world market prior to the Prudhoe Bay announcement?
There has not been a shortage yet. Nobody has gone without oil yet. It's just the mere threat that we're close to that point and might tip over the edge if some catastrophic event caused us to lose part of our supply.
So supplies are
driven the prices up so high.
So supplies are tight but not scarce, and most of that is timing to the market, right? They only extract it and ship it to the extent that they're ready to refine it and sell it.
Well, that's right. People talk about oil inventories, but they're really pretty minor in the overall scheme of things. And even the United States Strategic Petroleum Reserve is only a couple of months' worth of our oil imports.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even though the numbers sound big, compared to the rate at which we use oil, they're not very big.
Mm-hmm. So we've had virtually a doubling in the price of the retail sale price of gasoline in this country over the last 18 months or so. Is that primarily driven by refining capacity and the abilities of a handful of oil companies to really manipulate the market?
I would say no to both of those questions. It's due to the fact that oil is a freely traded commodity like pecans or soybeans or pork bellies or coffee. And when it gets a little bit scarce or when people think it may be scarce, then the prices go up.
Now, I understand that. But
oil
but don't
is traded many years into the future, and its price out 7 or 8 or 9 years into the future is in the $70 range. So people who are forecasting this and willing to put their money on the line are betting that the price is going to to be up in that range, not just temporarily, but more or less permanently.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it also fair to say that not every barrel that is refined in the United States costs that oil company, say, $70?
Well, it's absolutely true, and it's even more true in other parts of the world. The United States oil production peaked in 1970, and it's been going downhill ever since. And so the oil we're pumping in this country is harder to pump than in many countries. And in Saudi Arabia, for example, the wells are so powerful and so freely flowing that they can pump oil for, I believe, less than a dollar a barrel at the wellhead.
Now, I heard a recent, this came from a good source, so I'm inclined to believe it, but what I heard was that 40% of the oil refined in California is pumped out of wells in California, and the average cost of that is $11 a barrel. So if those facts, we just stipulate that those are true, then the price at the pump should only go up slightly, because only 60%, arguably, of the oil supply being refined in California is coming from market sources that are higher than this average of $11 a barrel.
Well, and most of them are probably lower. I would imagine that it costs less to produce oil in Alaska, for example, than it does in California. Mm-hmm. So the market price of oil, and therefore the market price of gasoline, over the last couple of years have moved away from the actual cost of production,
mm-hmm.
and they're responding to these other factors I've mentioned.
And so when the price of crude spikes, it went up $2 on Monday because of the Prudhoe Bay announcement from BP, that tends to ripple through much faster in the price scheme than it actually does in the production line. Is that correct?
Well, it may well be, but We focus an awful lot of our attention, both personally and in Congress, at trying to explain away all of these things. And we use all our energy up doing that and not figuring out how we can conserve oil, or even more importantly, how we can develop alternatives,
mm-hmm.
better batteries and all these sorts of things.
I agree with you on both counts.
A very short-term viewpoint on it. And you asked at the beginning of the program why I wrote the book. The second reason I wrote the book is because I'm concerned about my children, and particularly my grandchildren, and what they're going to do for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
If the worldwide oil supply turns downward, as most everyone agrees it will, although they don't agree on exactly when, then it's most likely to decline steadily thereafter. And the United States oil production has declined at about 1% a year since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's down 40% or so over that period of time. If that same thing happens to the world oil supply, while the demand continues to rise, and, you know, China is increasing its demand at a very rapid rate,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to have an ever-increasing gap, and that gap has to be closed with some combination of conservation, that is, using less oil to accomplish the same purpose,
mm-hmm.
getting ourselves to work with, you know, 1 gallon of gasoline instead of two, for example.
Now, Tom, with ideas like that, how do they still let you live in Texas?
Well, I don't think there is any way that we are going to create alternatives to oil or conserve fast enough to keep the oil companies from having a very, very good business for the foreseeable future, and I mean years and decades into the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're just too late getting started.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can develop those alternatives fast enough to keep up with the spread between the supply and demand after the supply of worldwide oil begins to start declining, which
mm-hmm.
I think is going to happen sometime in the next few years.
Tom Ast, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I want to encourage people to pick up the book Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. It is written in terms that even I can understand, and it offers a pretty powerful prescription for the future, which you just touched on. We've got to conserve and develop alternative sources. Next, we're going to talk about Prop 87, which hopefully would lead in that direction. Tom, why don't you hang with us? If you have some comments, you can join in. If not, lot. I really enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for your time today.
I'll be happy to hang on.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Operator error, and I'm the operator. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
And and the smiling faces in America are the executives of the major oil companies sitting on record profits and the prospect of no end in sight. And do they tell the truth? Already, they are spending millions of dollars on misleading television ads on California TV stations, trying to sink Proposition 87 before you even know anything about it. So we're going to do our part here to help you learn about it, and then when you see the commercials on TV, you'll understand that, they're smiling faces who are not quite telling the truth. Yousef Rob is communications director for the campaign for Yes on 87, and they've got a website up already if you want to take a trip on the web to yeson87.com. Yousef, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and just for context, we spent the preceding half hour talking with Tom Mann. He's the author of a book called Over a Barrel, and he was explaining to us a little bit about how the world oil market works and what has been a significant shift from the retail price and its relationship to the actual cost of production. And so we've given our listeners a little bit of a primer, and I've learned a little bit, too, over the last half hour. Tom is listening, and he'll be joining us again in a few minutes to give us a bit of a reality check from his Texas point of view on Prop 87.
Great.
So why don't you give us a quick sketch of what the intention of this ballot measure is?
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, here's the situation right now in the United States. In Louisiana, Alaska, and even Texas, oil companies pay billions of dollars in oil drilling fees. Here in California, they pay basically nothing. To put it into perspective, California takes in more from hunting and fishing licenses than it does in oil drilling fees. Prop 87 makes oil companies pay their fair share in California just like they do in every other oil-producing state in the nation. And we would then use that money to increase the use of cheaper, cleaner energy. And in fact, Prop 87 will reduce California's dependence on gas and diesel by 25% over the next 10 years. And along with that will come reduced air pollution that causes asthma, lung disease, and cancer.
Mm-hmm. Where does the tax money go? Does it go into the general fund, or is it in a segregated account, as Al Gore might say, a lockbox?
It would go into a separate account, away from the vagaries of Sacramento budgeting. That account would be dedicated to reducing gas and diesel use in California.
So would it go for mass transit, for example? That would be a way.
Absolutely. It would go to help consumers afford cleaner, cheaper running vehicles. It would help school districts buy cleaner, cheaper running school buses, mass transit fleets buy buses that don't run on diesel, garbage trucks, other fleet vehicles, of course, university research, and some really nuts and bolts practical things. For example, if new technologies are often kept from the market because of last-minute hurdles, such as crash testing, if we're talking about a vehicle, or underwriter's laboratory testing or engine certification. So it's really a practical measure to reduce gas and diesel use. We're not trying to invent the flux capacitor here or the warp drive. What we're trying to do is increase the use of the existing technologies, improve them a little bit, and just bring the gas and diesel use down immediately and significantly.
Just with an aside there, Yousef, you broke my heart, because I was hoping you were going to fund the development of speeder bikes like they had in the first Star Wars movie.
Exactly. But, you know, you never know what university research will spawn. But right now, again, we just simply want to make this a real practical measure. Here's the deal. We know there's a problem, okay? We don't need more studies to tell us there's a problem. We know there's solutions. There's plug-in hybrids. There's flex fuel. There's electric vehicles. There's all sorts of things out there. The thing is getting it done and frankly paying for it, and that's what Prop 87 produces. We're done with talk. Now it's time for action. Let's get this done.
Now, contrary to an assertion in one of the oil company ads that I saw last night, by the way, I TiVo'd and paused it at the end because it's always important on these political ads to see the disclosure statement in the fine print.
Yes.
And it says it's paid for by tax Californians Against Higher Taxes, something like that,
yep.
including teachers, law enforcement officers. Oh, and by the way, a little old company called Chevron Texaco.
Exactly. And let me make clear about their little coalition there. The oil companies have raised, the oil companies are bankrolling the anti-87 campaign.
$28 million so far, right?
Excuse me?
$28 million so far. Yeah.
And 12, almost $13 million of that is from Chevron all by itself. And another almost $13 million is from a company called Era Energy, which you'll see on that ad disclaimer.
I did.
Which is actually a joint ExxonMobil Shell venture. Of the $20.5 million, they have, I think, about $7,000 that came from some kind of weird business PAC. We don't exactly know who they are. The rest, straight up from the oil companies. The opposition to Proposition 87 is entirely financed by the oil companies. Why? Because 87 makes them pay. And it makes them pay to increase the use of alternatives to their dirty, expensive product. That's why they're going to wage such an all-out war against 87. And we know they have the resources to do it. Just last week, Chevron reported a single check for $9 million. Era kicked in $9 million. So these guys can basically, you know, send out millions of dollars at a drop of a hat.
And how much have you raised so far in the Yes on 87 campaign?
We've raised total, and of course we've been spending money as well, around $5, $6 million. You know, we're going to be competitive, but let's face it here. We, the oil companies, ExxonMobil alone, I think, broke the record for most profits by any corporation in the history of the world in 2004 and 2005. They're probably going to break the record again in 2006. We're nowhere near that resource level, but we're doing what we have to do to be competitive because the stakes are extremely high. We can either get past our addiction to oil or continue to be hooked on this stuff and continue to pay more money, continue to pump more junk into the air, continue to be entangled with countries we may not want to be entangled with, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Youssef Rabb. He's communications director for the campaign Yes on 87, Proposition 87 on the November ballot here in California. And Youssef, not that I doubted you, but just a little confirmation, validation came
no
in
problem.
From a listener in Eureka.
Uh-huh.
And he said, remember, in California, royalties are not paid to the landowners where the oil is pumped. My grandma stopped getting checks for her oil well after they still, they've kept pumping, and he said the lease is still valid. So give us a quick explanation about how oil companies manage to extract this extremely valuable natural resource from the earth of California, and the landowners and the state get bupkis.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not sure exactly how it works for the individual landowners when they lease their land to the oil companies, but let me describe how it works for the state of California. If you own an oil well, you pay income tax, just like I do for my job. You pay property tax, just like any business owner or homeowner does, and pretty much that's it. There is a little specific oil industry fee. It's 0.02% of the oil you drill. Last year, or actually in 2004, that added up to about $10 million for the entire state of California. And that's used exclusively to pay the bills of, there's a little bureaucracy in some office building in Sacramento that kind of processes the paperwork for the oil wells.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay for that. Beyond that, they don't pay a dime. Look, timber companies have to pay to extract the trees, which are a natural resource that belongs to all of us. Farmers got to pay for the water they use. Oil companies are not paying for the oil they pump out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In federal waters, they pay 12.5% to pump that oil out of the seafloor. In Alaska, they pay 15%. Even in Texas, they pay 4.5%. So, it's clear that California is not getting its fair share, which the oil companies are paying in every other state that produces oil in the union.
Youssef, stand by here. I want to bring back Tom Mast, who was with us earlier this hour. He's the author of the book Over a Barrel. And, Tom, you've had a chance to hear Youssef's pitch for Prop 87. Do you think, number one, first of all, it's justifiable? Is his case correct that in other states oil companies pay fees, royalties, or other fees to the state, and in California they're getting off almost scot-free?
Well, it's very interesting. I'm surprised to hear much of that. In Texas, definitely oil companies pay what's called a severance tax to the state, and it's always been a lucrative source of income to the state. It's become less important over the last two or three decades as the state's economy is diversified. At one point, it was very, very important. So I can understand that. I'm pro accelerating the development of alternatives, and I guess I worry more about the research and development on future technologies, on solving the more knotty problems rather than rolling out existing technology. But we certainly need to be doing that too. We do know how to build plug-in hybrids these days, and mm-hmm. we do know how to build diesel vehicles, and there are a number of ways that we can conserve and use less fuel using existing technologies. So mm-hmm. we need to be doing that in parallel. In my book, I talk about portfolio management. Corporations have a portfolio of new products they're working on, and the more progressive corporations have a fairly sophisticated way of looking at the risk-rewards ratios of these various new product ideas, and they fund them in proportion to their risk-reward ratios. Mm-hmm. And if a particular idea gets in trouble after a year or two, then they may cut off the funding entirely, and they may then pour additional funding into one that's more promising.
So is that what happened to Ford's experiments with electric vehicles? They had the Think Bike and I think a Think Car, and they were manufacturing them in South Korea, and all of a sudden they just took them off the market. I know there's a documentary out about who killed the electric car. Haven't seen it yet.
I saw that just a few days ago, and it's a good movie, but uh-huh. I think that's different. I think Ford and General Motors probably just didn't want to produce electric cars in California because they thought the timing was too early and they didn't want to have an entire different kind of car for one state. Mm. But what I'm talking about is transferring this portfolio management idea to the way we look at alternatives for cars. Mm-hmm. For example, developing better batteries for cars probably would have a huge payoff, and the technology is within our grasp. It mm-hmm. just needs to be refined, whereas hydrogen cars, for example, solving those problems is huge. So we may want to continue to pour some seed money into it. When I say we, I mean the nation as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But continue to hold the spending levels at a reasonable level, and these decisions should be made by scientists and engineers. We need a NASA-like organization that's mm-hmm. Staffed with the best and brightest people in this country.
I agree. We can't leave it to the oil companies and the car companies to do that for us.
Well, Congressman, either one.
Yeah. Tom, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. His book is called Over a Barrel. It's out in hardcover, and it's a very interesting approach. I think you can learn something from it. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll continue with Yousef Rob from Yes on 87 right after a break here. If you have a question or comment about Prop 87, get on the line now. It's a toll-free call at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, here's one reason to try to reduce our dependence on oil.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I'm reading in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and greets me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming.
Oh, thank you, Elmo. We're talking about Proposition 87. It's qualified for the November ballot. It would impose $4 billion worth of taxes over about a 10-year period on the oil companies that operate in the state. And is it fundamentally a tax at the wellhead, at the point where the oil's coming out of the ground, Youssef, Rob?
Yes, it's assessed at the wellhead. It is assessed on the volume of oil that comes up from the straw, so to speak, that's stuck into the ground and into that barrel of oil. The cost would be borne solely by oil drillers, not by refiners, and not passed on to consumers. And there's several reasons for this. Number one, Prop 87 makes it illegal for oil companies to raise gas prices and pass the cost on to consumers. That's backed up not only by the California Attorney General, who verified our language, but that's already been litigated all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court that upheld such regulations. And number two, the laws of the oil market just don't work that way. Prop 87 will not affect the instability in the Middle East and OPEC's production outputs and the commodities markets on Wall Street and all these other things that cause and influence our gas prices here in California. Just to kind of confront what the oil companies have been saying, Prop 87 will in no way decrease oil production in California, therefore causing us to increase our imports of foreign oil. Mm-hmm. That will not happen. What will happen is we'll be using more domestic, reliable sources of fuel that aren't subject to the bottlenecks and instability that oil is.
And Prop 87, as you say here in your materials, creates no new bureaucracy, but it reinvigorates an existing state agency nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly. Exactly, and there are a lot of those state agencies floating around in the state of California. And again, the opponents to Prop 87, who are the oil companies, plain and simple, are trying to use buzzwords like no accountability, no bureaucracy, no results to scare California voters. The reality is Prop 87 is governed by a 9-member board made up of citizen experts, frankly. Of course, the Cal EPA secretary is on there, the chair of the Commission of State Resources and Conservation is on there, and the state treasurer, who, not surprisingly, would be the treasurer of the commission. But the other 6 members of the 9 would be citizens, Californians like you and me, although not like you and me, because they would have to be experts, meaning university professors or however you want to call it, in business and energy and the environment.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list.
Public health.
There isn't a listing here for a loudmouth radio talk show host.
Exactly, but there is a listing for a public health expert. again, despite the scare tactics being put out there by, the oil companies, there are, this authority that would disburse the Prop 87 funds would not only be subject to all existing conflict of interest and ethics and disclosure and open meeting and competitive bidding rules and on, Prop 87 actually contains tougher rules that would be in place for this authority. So, the bottom line is the oil companies know that Prop 87 is going to make them pay, so they're going to spend millions of dollars to protect their profits.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat this, this will be a good return on that investment. But we're, hoping to beat them back by getting
sure.
the truth.
$28.5 million to save $4 billion, that's a good investment.
It's a good investment. I mean, I would say, hey, take that money and invest it in alternative energies. If the oil companies, the irony of this whole thing is if they didn't fight this and embrace this, an oil company under Prop 87 could benefit from it. If they were to say, you know what, let's come on board, let's invest together to reduce the use of oil and move toward a new sustainable, cleaner energy, hey, welcome to the party.
But when you make $78 billion in profits, $4 billion
exactly.
is
they don't
rounding.
Have much, they're happy with us paying $3.50 at the pump for their product, and they want to keep us hooked to it.
Let's go to the phones. David in Santa Cruz, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Yousef Rob, Yes on 87.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Peter B. and Yousef, and Prop 87. Sounds like a good idea. I'm thinking about longer term, Peter, as far as using some of the money from the taxation of the oil revenue to fund solar power rollouts. I mean, as you know, with all the heat we've been getting, the existing system that we have can't handle it. So it's not just the cost of per dollar per barrel of oil.
Right.
You've got to factor in the hidden costs that they don't put in there, the cost to upgrade the infrastructure, the rigged distribution system that Enron was able to gain very successfully that we still have in place even today,
mm-hmm.
The cost of pollution. Now finally Governor Schwarzenegger is talking to Tony Blair about setting up a carbon trading system. All these things, and of course the environmental cost of drilling, all these things are costs, and right now, it seems to me that the oil companies are not paying for that. With Prop 87, this is a way maybe to get some of this revenue. If we can focus it on solar power in particular, it seems to me it's renewable. We've got a lot of it here. If we can just get the deployments rolled out right now, obviously the initial cost is the issue,
mm-hmm.
but over time,
all right,
if you look at...
Let me jump in here. We're tight for time here, Dave. Yousef, can this be used for the kind of solar plans that David talks about?
Absolutely. Prop 87 will increase the use and provides funds for research and implementation of wind and solar systems.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'd just like to make this point, we do have a huge problem with transmission and pollution, and there's so many layers to this. We spend billions of dollars having a permanent military presence in the Middle East, as a matter of fact, because of oil. Prop 87. Look, Washington has been talking about getting us off of oil since 1973 when that whole fiasco happened.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. We can do it here in California, and we not only have the technical know-how and innovation, but we frankly have the market size where if we do it here, it's going to push the whole nation away from oil. It
I
could
agree.
Push the whole globe away from oil. We did it with the internet. You know, we did it. Mm-hmm. We did it with Hollywood. If you want to look at that, you know, look at the catalytic converter of the 1970s. Everyone said California was crazy requiring something here and not in the rest of the nation. What happened? The other 50 or 49 states followed suit because we had the market power to do it. If you have to clean up your act to sell it in California, you're going to clean it up your act everywhere because you're going to have to change your whole assembly line.
Yeah, David, thanks for your call today. And Youssef, I do agree. The naysayers and the oil companies want us to believe that a little tax like this would drive them out of California.
Huh.
This is such an attractive market that simply is not going to happen, particularly given the dominance that they have over refining and retail. I'm sorry, they're not going to walk away from a gold mine.
They're not going to walk away from a gold mine, exactly.
Youssef, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. You're a very articulate proponent of Proposition 87. Visit the website, yeson87.com, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Peter, anytime.
Thanks a lot. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Sabelle Edmonds about some whistleblowers here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Fierce fighting in South Lebanon. And Israel decides to escalate. Joe Lieberman goes it alone.
I'm running as an independent Democrat, which in some ways is exactly what I've always been.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Frustrated by the resilience of Hezbollah, the Israeli leadership met today and decided to escalate the battle. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports from Tel Aviv.
A buildup of troops and armor began even before the Israeli security cabinet adopted a plan to push up to 30,000 troops into Lebanon. The major expansion of the ground war will begin in earnest at the discretion of the Israeli prime minister. Reports in the Israeli press say it will be held off for 2 to 3 days to give diplomacy a chance. But Israel is in effect challenging the UN to get on with the job of brokering a workable ceasefire.
In fighting today, reports say 15 Israeli soldiers were killed, and among the Hezbollah guerrillas who've died, one Israeli TV station says the army has found members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, identified by papers found on their bodies. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah delivered a defiant speech today, vowing to keep fighting to the last shot. But he announced a policy shift, saying Hezbollah now agrees with the Lebanese government's plan to deploy 15,000 troops in the south. Now this.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
CompUSA email bag.
Jesse emails, Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse, $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited, store visit required, see store for details.
He was their party's nominee for vice president, but Senate Democrats dropped Joe Lieberman like a hot potato when he lost yesterday's primary in Connecticut. They've rallied around the winner, Ned Lamont, leaving Lieberman alone to make his case for supporting the war in Iraq.
Issue by issue, I'm loyal to my party, but I always try to do what I think is best for my state and country.
He filed papers today to run as an independent. White House spokesman Tony Snow sees this as a cautionary tale for independent Democrats.
If you disagree with the extreme left in their party, they're going to come after you.
It's happened again. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein explains.
Federal officials are offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the return of another stolen government laptop. This one was taken from a vehicle driven by a special agent of the Department of Transportation in the Miami, Florida area. Letters are going out to some 123,000 people whose social security numbers, dates of birth, and other private information may be at risk. Those are all people in Florida who've been issued commercial driver's or pilot's licenses.
As a wildfire burned through the town of Valley, Washington, Sharon Edwards and her fiancé were among the people who evacuated. They won't be going back.
On the news, we've seen our house go up in flames. That was devastating.
It was one of 19
devastating.
Nine structures that burned. They had very little time to save their possessions.
We had about 30 to 45 minutes. We got important papers out. We lost everything.
Now firefighters think they have the flames contained. When they're shiny and new, all cars look good, but their real beauty, or lack of it, comes out after we've driven them a few years. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
Judging dependability by the number of repairs owners report on their three-year-old cars, the top five are Lexus, Mercury, Buick, Cadillac, and Toyota.
Three out of those top five brands are non-luxury brands, which is one of the stories of this year's study.
J.D. Power's Chance Parker says the trend is that more basic models have closed the reliability gap with the luxury models. Paying big bucks for your next new vehicle will not necessarily buy you fewer repairs.
It probably guarantees more bells and whistles, but that's probably the only guarantee.
At the bottom of the dependability list, a luxurious SUV, Land Rover. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Three more American soldiers have died in Iraq, killed by enemy action in Anbar province west of Baghdad. Sectarian violence in the Iraqi capital has gotten so bad that last month nearly 2,000 bodies arrived at the morgue. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Pink eye, the burning, the watery discharge, the redness. The relief? Similasan Pink Eye Relief. Finally, relief for the symptoms of pink eye is available right over the counter. Homeopathic Similasan drops stimulate your eye's natural ability to relieve the symptoms associated with viral and environmental conjunctivitis. Strong enough for adults, yet gentle enough for children, Similasan's active ingredients have no known side effects. Look for Similasan in the eye care section at your local retailer. The problem? Pink eye. The relief? Similasan Pink Eye Relief. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
Get the good stuff!
With the high price of gas, who wants to spend more for premium? Well, you may not have to. Just pick up some Tecron fuel injector cleaner from your local Napa Auto Parts store. It can help clean carbon deposit buildup in your engine, which reduces engine pings and your need for higher octane gas. Plus, a cleaner engine means better mileage. And now with Napa, when you buy one bottle of Tecron for just $6.99, you get a second bottle free after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 6 minutes after the hour as we launch into another hour of today's broadcast. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, our weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of RawStory.com. And she's written a very powerful piece reacting to Mel Gibson's drunk driving with anti-Semitic slurs episode. And I'll just clue you that she's able to forgive Mel, but not lots of others. We'll talk about that in detail about a half hour away. Returning to our program, a woman I'm proud to know, a great American who is fighting for our constitutional rights to privacy and a free expression. She is Sybelle Edmonds, who's been on our program many times before, and she has her personal saga. It led her to form the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, and they're on the web at nswbc.org. Sybelle, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for inviting me back.
Well, it's always nice to talk with you, Sybelle, and I'm getting a little bit of feedback on your phone. I think this will work. I just wanted to get an update from you on some of your efforts. Last week, there was an announcement that Russell Tice, who is a member of your coalition, who worked at the National Security Agency and who has tried very hard to get what he considers to be significant information before key decision makers and oversight leaders, he was supposed to testify before a Senate committee, and then it was abruptly postponed. Tell us what you can tell us about that.
Well, as you know, Russell Tice wrote several letters to Congress right after this articles by the New York Times on this illegal eavesdropping by the National Security Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent the letters, and we publicized the letters. We issued a press release. And for months, he did not hear back from any of these committees. And he specifically sent these letters to the Senate Judiciary Committee and Intelligence Committee, and the same for the House. And a few months later, what we heard was that they were not going to let him come and brief them, and this is the Congress, because based on the statement issued by the NSA, nobody in the United States Congress was cleared high enough to hear what Russell Tice had to tell them. And we're talking about the intelligence committees here, that no senator or no congressman is cleared high enough to listen to a briefing provided to them by Russell Tice,
mm-hmm.
former NSA employee. And finally, after we really pushed this with the Congress, he was able to meet with the Senate Armed Services Committee and also the House Armed Services Committee. And then 2 weeks ago, he just came home around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he saw two FBI agents waiting for him in front of his door.
Well, that's always a comforting sight.
Tell me about it. And they served him with this subpoena, telling him that he had to appear before this grand jury in court in Alexandria, the federal court there,
mm-hmm.
the following week. So he called me up and he told me this is what had occurred, and we issued a press release immediately, and with some help from the ACLU, we were able to find an attorney for him urgently, because he was scheduled to appear before this grand jury in 1 week,
yeah.
and the subpoena didn't indicate whether he was a target or only a witness, and the exact nature of this grand jury, it just said about some criminal and unauthorized disclosure regarding the NSA eavesdropping.
Mm-hmm.
So after we helped him obtain an attorney, this attorney sent this letter to the Justice Department and said, A, we don't have enough information. B, we don't have enough time to prepare for this testimony. And that was successful because the Justice Department postponed postponed Russell Tice's appearance,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have a date yet. They haven't rescheduled it. But we know that now there is a grand jury investigation of this disclosure on NSA's illegal eavesdropping.
Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to correct me without actually correcting me, but I mistook the grand jury. I had it in my mind that it was a Senate committee, so thank you for the factual correction there.
Sure.
So at this point, he's just standing by. It's been delayed, or has it been rescheduled?
It hasn't been rescheduled, and we haven't heard anything from the Justice Department yet on the date that it's going to take place, his testimony. And we also don't know if others have been subpoenaed. This is very interesting because, on one hand, here we have the NSA that basically went against our laws by doing and engaging in this illegal eavesdropping. So instead of having an investigation on the NSA, what we have here is We have an administration that is going, and the Justice Department that is going after the whistleblowers mm-hmm. who have disclosed illegal activities.
And at the same time, we have activity in the Congress where they're trying to pass legislation to paper over the violations of law that have been explicitly and admittedly committed by this administration.
Oh, absolutely. And just take a look at the hypocrisy or the irony here. The Justice Department, they said that the administration and NSA prevented them from investigating NSA's actions due to those actions being classified and privileged.
And this goes right to the president himself, because Tony Snow has acknowledged that it is the president who has declined to give clearances to the individuals you described, including members of the intelligence committees, to review this information. It's the perfect catch-22.
Absolutely. And here, a department that doesn't even know what had occurred is now investigating those whistleblowers who have disclosed it when they, the Department of Justice itself, doesn't have the clearance and doesn't know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't this ironic?
Yeah, it really is. I want to direct people to your website at nswbc.org, because there's a lot of information about the legislation that's pending, about the way that they're trying to crack down on whistleblowers, and I'd like you to consider this a resource and check it out, nswbc.org. That's the website for the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. Joining us now is Tom Devine. He's legal director of the Government Accountability Project. He's got a website at whistleblower.org, and he started this way back in January of 1979. GAP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public interest organization championing the rights of whistleblowers, and during his 27 years, he's worked on 4,000 different whistleblower cases, stopping nuclear power plants where accidents were about to happen, deregulation of meat inspection, the next generation of Star Wars. The list goes quite on and on. He's written a book called Courage Without Martyrdom, The Whistleblower's Survival Guide. Tom Devine, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Howdy.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for your work. This must be something that you thought you might do for a couple of years, and has it kind of overwhelmed you and taken over your life?
Oh, I knew it was my calling right from the beginning. If I weren't a lawyer defending whistleblowers, I'd be one myself, and I don't want to be a victim.
Well, you're familiar with all the cases that Sabell has been active on. What do you think are the most egregious concerns that our listeners should be aware of going on right now, Tom?
I think part of it is that the government is illegally spending the taxpayers' money to conduct these witch hunts against public servants like Russ Tice. There's a law called the Anti-Gag Statute that says you can't spend government money to implement or enforce non-disclosure rules if it involves unclassified whistleblowing. And Mr. Tice has repeatedly contended that he has never disclosed any classified information to the media, and he's gone through proper channels and been denied permission to do that with Congress. There's personal liability for spending government money on these illegal witch hunts. And the people who ordered the investigations that led to the grand jury subpoena could be ordered to repay the Treasury that money. The government first would have to demonstrate that Mr. Tice had made any classified disclosures. And to do that, they have to be able to prove that he released information that's aiding and abetting the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, to say that the government is illegally engaging in Big Brother activities against our citizens is not illegally, it's not aiding and abetting the enemy unless the American people are the enemy.
Yeah.
There's nothing classified about that. And then the second thing is there has to be a procedural check that any information that he shared with the newspapers, he has to have had specific notice that it was classified. Under the law, it's not classified unless you get prior warning. You can't be told after the fact that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And until the government demonstrates either of these two propositions, which is very unlikely, this whole witch hunt is illegal.
We're going to take a break and continue. That's Tom Devine. He is the proprietor of the website whistleblower.org and legal director of the Government Accountability Project. Also with us, Sibel Edmonds from the NSWBC.org. That's National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. If you have a question or comment, join us. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 with traffic. Santa Cruz Mount, South 17 after Idlewild. It's in stalled car. One of the lanes is blocked there. Do have some more issues as we make our way down further into the Monterey County area. Salinas, West Blanco Road at West Alisal Street. Spilled load of lettuce in lanes. Crews are on scene loading the lettuce onto another car. Also, Highway 1 south of Rocky Creek Bridge, an accident. A motorcycle has been cleared over to the shoulder. No injuries reported. Boulder Creek, Bear Creek Road at Hopkins Gulch. Stalled car, one of the lanes blocked there as well. Now, during Mattress Discounter's Pillow Top Sale, you can get a Simmons Pillow Top for only $588. Plus, you'll find other select Simmons and Sealy Pillow Tops on sale. Mattress Discounter's, quality brands, discount prices. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yes, big brother, big government. Useless to resist, right? Well, not so. There are many courageous Americans willing to blow the whistle on official crime. And we've got two of them on the line with us right now. Sabelle Edmonds, she is a founder of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. And also Tom Devine, legal director of the Government Accountability Project. And speaking of people who blow the whistle, Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, will be on the Peter B. Collins Show tomorrow in our first hour to take on the latest polls that show that 50% of Americans believe the bogus line that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction and that's why we had to invade Iraq. Sabelle Edmonds and Tom Devine with us here. And Tom, I want to turn to you for a moment and ask you what I talked with Sabelle about in the first segment. This incredible Catch-22 created by the administration, which allows the president to decline to give security clearances to the oversight committee members in the House and Senate who are charged with just that by, you know, basically saying, I can't trust you to see this information. And I'm a Watergate baby who has been suspicious of these kinds of government actions for over 35 years now. And I don't buy that Bush is doing this to protect us. I think he's doing it to protect himself.
Oh, that's absolutely what's going on here. The whether it's the investigation of Russ Tice, the new Official Secrets Act legislation in the Senate, these are not initiatives to protect national security. They're about covering up government illegality and about protecting government bureaucracies that, frankly, are just out of control. Mm-hmm. These types of abuses of power are only sustained by secrecy because they're indefensible if people know about them. And it's not just denying security clearances to members of Congress to conduct their constitutional duties of checks and balances. It's about yanking the security clearances of any whistleblowers who protest or challenge breaches of security by our own government. Mm-hmm. And then they get, for all practical purposes, a scarlet T for traitor on their professional chest because they're deemed untrustworthy to see classified information. And the whistleblower law has a loophole that doesn't allow themselves to defend themselves against that type of retaliation.
Sure, they can't face their accusers, and in many cases they can't even see the evidence that can be used to indict or convict them.
They're not even told what they did wrong to make themselves untrustworthy, but yeah. It consistently happens right after they blow the whistle about security breaches due to bureaucratic negligence.
And now, Sabelle Edmonds, you have been personally subject to what has been referred to as the state secret privilege. They essentially inserted a gag order on you and issues related to your case. Now they want to take what has been simply a precedent and encode it, codify it into law, into a state secret piece of legislation. Who's carrying this, and what can we do to stop it?
Absolutely, Peter. Because as you know, what they invoked in my case is called the State Secret Privilege Act, and that is based on common laws. It was never passed by Congress. Now, they successfully executed this maneuver by getting the appellate courts and the Supreme Court and the lower courts all upholding this State Secret Privilege Act, which basically says the only requirement the government has is to come out and say this is a state secret. They don't even have to publicly prove anything. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to submit real evidence. All they have to do is give the judge an affidavit by the head of the agency or by the president, which says the affidavit, this is, we consider this a state secret, therefore it should not proceed in court, and deprive Americans from their due process. Mm-hmm. and from their rights to pursue their cases in courts. Now, after successfully doing this, now they want more. They want to go further. So they have gotten some of these individuals from the Senate, including Senators Rick Santorum, Conrad Burns from Montana, and of course Senator Bond, who is leading now this new bill that he introduced.
Kit Bond from Missouri. Uh-huh.
Right, and what they are saying is, they're saying, let's take it a step further. Let's have this recognized by Congress, and let's turn this into a law. Not only that it gags whistleblowers, but also, and this is actually a statement from Senator Bond, it says, in order to ease the government's burden in prosecuting and punishing leakers by eliminating the need to prove that damage to the national security has or will result from a disclosure. Meaning, all the government has to do is go and say, this is going to damage or this has damaged our national security, but they don't have to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are acting as extension of the White House and this administration. These three senators are not there to represent the Americans who elected them.
Yeah.
They have forgotten about their positions and what they are supposed to be.
Let's take a quick call. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. Go right ahead.
Big fan. Folks, and I would like you to analyze a couple of points with me, if you would, because Sybil, I believe, was terminated not because of incompetence, but because she was quite competent and was viewing data they were trying to conceal. And so now she got replaced by incompetent semi-literates who didn't even know the languages they were supposed to be translating. So 3.5 years later, they still have not translated the correspondence around 9/11. Go back a few years to when they earlier said their plans to invade the Middle East, that they would need their new Pearl Harbor to do it. They got their new Pearl Harbor, and they invaded the Middle East, and they're still doing it. So I say they're trying to conceal information from us, and having a competent translator in there going through that paperwork, they just couldn't afford that.
Dave, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're tight for time. Sybil, we'll talk about it on another occasion. And Tom Devine, I want to thank you for joining us. Sybil, we'll continue with a series of other whistleblowers from the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. We'll talk to you again real soon. That's Sybil Edmonds with Tom Devine, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mercury Milan, my first time in this five-passenger, four-door, mid-size car. My demo has a 3-liter fuel-injected, six-cylinder engine and a six-speed automatic, delivering plenty of power and acceleration. It has good traction, holds the road well, and handles with ease. The ride is a little bumpier than I expected, and the turning radius is pretty big for a car this size. Inside, it's got good legroom and headroom, and my demo has a good package of accessories and safety features. The Milan is assembled in Mexico, which helps explain the lower price tag. Before you buy a Camry, Maxima, or Malibu, give the Mercury Milan a test drive. By the numbers, the 2006 Mercury Milan gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R, imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash. Did you hear the show when God called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on.
In America, could Ned Lamont knock off Joe Lieberman in the Senate primary in Connecticut? We'll talk about that coming up in about a half hour with Ari Melber from The Nation magazine. And only in America could a movie actor who gets arrested for drunk driving and then offers some, well, anti-Semitic comments to the arresting officer obscure some of the real issues about hate and how we exploit it in this country. Every week we like to talk with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor from RawStory.com. She's often on investigative stories related to spooks and our nation's misguided foreign policy. But this week she posted a powerful first-person commentary at TheHuffingtonPost.com, and that's what we're going to talk about this half hour. Larissa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can I tell you, this one really, if I'd had socks on, they would have been knocked off.
Oh, thank you.
Really?
Yeah, it got a lot of reaction. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm. Well, first up, I will concede that only once so far, maybe twice, have we even made indirect references to the Mel Gibson story. I think a caller asked me about it the day after it happened or after it was reported, and we talked briefly about it. But we don't typically dive into these stories, and I've been watching the shows on TV that nominally cover politics, diverting their attention to Mel Gibson's plight, to what happened to him in his career. And they've also had drinking games. I mean, I heard Al Franken the other day talking with his producer, and they put a bunch of people in a bar in Minneapolis, had them drink shots of tequila to see if it could produce anti-Semitic epithets. So I don't really trade on that sort of stuff, but I was really struck by your reaction to the Mel Gibson story. So without stealing your thunder, when you first heard it, did you have a reaction of revulsion?
Well, I mean, I was certainly offended, but it, you know, I mean, there's such a culture of hate in this country, and it's so aggressive that, you know, a comment by Mel Gibson, while insulting, I just sort of, you know, it was par for the course. Initially, yes, insulted, and then I sort of moved on to news, to more important things to talk about.
Yeah. And then you started to reflect, and in the piece that you penned, you tell us about some personal experiences as a Jew in Soviet Russia. You talk about your observations in the United States in the contemporary manner in which we actually exploit hate for profit.
Right.
Ann Coulter comes to
to mind right away.
Sure.
And so I think you really tied these things together very well. Talk first of all just about your sense of what the real priorities should be if people want to combat hate.
Well, I think if people want to combat hate, then they need to combat the reasons behind hate: ignorance, poverty, classism. You know, you have to address the actual issues. And what's really striking about the Mel Gibson fiasco is that at the exact same time that our nation went ballistic and made him the poster boy for hate, the United Nations Human Rights Committee was issuing a report that essentially called our country racist.
Yeah.
And that didn't even make a blip on the news.
Right.
Now, somehow I found this to be incredibly hypocritical of our own media, of everyone here, running after Gibson and not remotely even, not even mentioning briefly that there were hearings in Geneva, that there were 142 different American groups, non-for-profits, representing a whole slew of issues, the largest delegate of non-government officials at one of these, you know, at the Geneva hearings ever for any country. Nothing, none of this made the news. It wasn't important.
But Larissa, there were no celebrities there, and Lisa Gibbons was not invited to be there to follow the celebrities.
No, it's true. You're right. There weren't celebrities there. But you know what? Look, this is the same country that held up Mel Gibson as the prophet of God during the last election cycle because of his film, which I felt was also anti-Semitic. But to then turn around and claim, oh, my God, he's offended us suddenly because he was drunk and pretty much said what I've heard said by sober people for the last couple of weeks since the Israeli-Lebanon conflict began, to attack him as a monstrosity, as this poster boy of hate, and not address any of the real issues of hate, not to look at the Katrina victims are still homeless, that, you know, most homeless people in this country are minorities. Most prisons are populated by minorities. To ignore real issues, to chase this phantom, you know, it's reminiscent of, you know, the pro-life concept of they'll chase stem cells, but they don't care about, you know, children who are already born and don't have food to eat.
Yeah, yeah. And Larissa, you know, what's missing from your analysis is a heavy dose of cynicism, because that's what drives these factors that you're describing. It is a very cynical decision maker at the network level who looks at the Mel Gibson story with delight and says, this is going to get me the 18 to 49 female ratings that my boss has been bugging me for or threatening to fire me if I don't deliver.
Right, sure.
And then they make the calculation, Mel Gibson is a public figure, and we can say almost anything about this guy, and he can't, you know, sue us for libel because, as a public figure, he has to prove that it was intentional and inaccurate from the get-go.
Sure, sure.
And so the calculation they make is that we can create a lot of heat here, a lot of controversy. Controversy generates ratings. Ratings bring in money. And therefore, we're going to profit from this little escapade of Mel Gibson, and they don't care who gets hurt by it.
Sure, and I think what's important here is that, you know, sure, he apologized, and one would expect him to. It's a PR, you know, it's damage control. But he did more than apologize. He actually reached out to the Jewish community and said, tell me how to understand this, my demons, as it were. I think that's very important, and I don't think that should be taken lightly. And
I give him credit. Arnold Schwarzenegger has not reached out and said, I'd like some help with my groping problem.
Or my anti-Semitism, I might add. Or Ann Coulter and her anti-Semitism, which is rarely ever covered. Or I should say the only anti-Semitism that is covered is the other side of the Semite family,
mm-hmm.
which is the Muslims. But here's the thing. If he is serious, then why not reach out to him and say, okay, let's understand each other. Here's who I am. Here's my background. Here's how I feel about things. You know, why do you feel the way you do? Why is that not worth that amount of energy spent demonizing him? Why isn't that worth that same amount of time worth perhaps educating him?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, perhaps given his a very public platform, he can affect many others who are in need of educating.
Yeah.
But to shun him, to demonize him, it, in my opinion, he's not somebody like Ann Coulter. I, in all honesty, before the Passion of the Christ came out, I didn't know anything about his views on Judaism or the Middle East or anything. He is not somebody who's out there selling hate like a product. Ann Coulter's a different story, but she's on the bestseller list.
Yeah.
And I might add that after her columns were pulled for plagiarism, not racism, not hate, some of her supporters wrote in, and one of the syndicated columns was given back to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my opinion, you know, this is just outrageous, and it's hypocritical, and frankly, I think I'm embarrassed for us, because I can see us from the eyes of the outside world. And it's a sham.
Well, we are the world's leading exporter of hypocrisy, and if we could find a way to monetize it, we could reduce our trade deficit.
Sure, and I think, you know, that everyone is suddenly against Mel Gibson, and, you know, he's just trying to save his career. The guy has zillions of dollars. I don't think he needs a career at this point.
Yeah, he's not Pee Wee Herman.
Right, exactly. He's not, you know, living at the fund. I mean, this guy made, on The Passion alone, enough money, you know, to fund an entire education movement. In fact, he was working on a Holocaust film.
Right, for Disney.
That was, my understanding was, incredibly accurate. And that was canceled because he's no longer popular. Now I ask you, who does that serve? No one. It's just, it's hypocrisy. And my question is, who are we trying to impress by trying so hard to point at someone else? Who are we trying to impress? Because the world sees us. It's not like it's not visible what we're doing over here.
Yeah. Larissa, with your indulgence, I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs from this piece.
Sure, go ahead.
Is this not a culture that openly sells, buys, endorses, and lives hate on a daily basis? The only thing that makes this hypocrisy worse is that the people who claim the wound and the status of victim are the same people who are inflicting the wounds and creating victims. I have some experience with these psychotics who aggressively attack me and then claim that they're being attacked by me. Their hate is a product, too, one that they sell for their own agenda and their own self-serving, bitter egos that can only be stroked when they claim victimhood on one hand and victimize others on the other. Who is more dangerous, a drunken man yelling profanities and racist slurs, or a man on a news show making racist statements and supporting hate crimes? What about the White House press secretary using terms like tar baby without batting a lash, or the Secretary of State making statements that civilian casualties in Lebanon are nothing more than the birth pangs of democracy? No, Mel Gibson is the racist, the bigot, the poster boy of hate. Never mind that the U.S. and Somalia are the only two nations in the world who've not ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Is that more important than an actor driving under the influence who makes an ass of himself and spits out racial slurs along with a part of his lunch on the side of a California road? Surely the media can cover something as important as the children of America having no rights? No. It seems between Mel Gibson and missing white women, there is little room to look at ourselves as a nation and understand what we really are and what we really are not. In the meantime, Coulter is on the bestseller list. Rice is representing this nation abroad. The Bush administration is torturing Muslims in our names. Jews are being blamed for all sorts of crimes. And all thanks to the ultra-tolerant neo-fascists who've taken over the U.S. and Israel. Very powerfully put there, Larissa.
I was a little upset.
I can tell. We'll continue in just a moment with Larissa Alexandrovna. If you have a comment about her willingness to forgive Mel Gibson but not George W. Bush, I think she's right on. Give us a call. The number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540, southbound 17, right after Idlewild. Still have a stalled out car. One of the lanes is currently blocked. Once again, that would be south 17, right after Idlewild. Salinas, West Blanca Road at West Alisal Street. Spilled load of lettuce still in lanes. Crews are on the scene, loading the lettuce onto another car. Also in Salinas, Reservation Road at Davis Street, stalled big rig, partially blocking both of the lanes. Pajaro Hall Road at Werner, accident car ran off the roadway and hit a fence. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continues.
I'm not a Kennedy, and I'm glad I'm not Mel Gibson. I love that line in there from Shona Lang about wearing your fame like a loaded gun. And Mel was shooting blanks in Malibu that night.
Yeah,
he was also shooting off his mouth.
Well, I think he's got some serious demons that he's dealing with. I think the slurs are the least of his worries, frankly.
Yeah, I guess he's on the Betty Ford bus now.
Possibly. I don't think it's his first stint at one of these rehab places.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's difficult being in the public eye.
Well, and I haven't invested in the tabloids. I've been to the supermarket twice this week, and all the headlines are about Mel.
Really? Mine must be old. Mine are about, you know, I'm just walking by about some bizarre story about Bush wedding Condi. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
No, I didn't know they got married.
Yeah, I didn't either, but apparently, you know, somewhere between the Second Coming and Iran War, there's a little wedding party. It's so bizarre just to see it all splattered.
Yeah. Larissa, I want to invite people to read this post. It's at the Huffington Post, and if you just do a search under Larissa, it'll lead you to a link to all of the ravings of Larissa Alexandrovna. And this one is, I think, particularly potent. And one of the things that really touched me was how you recounted your youth, your grade school years in Soviet Russia. And tell the story. I was really touched by it.
And the thing is, I don't generally talk about this stuff or write about it.
I don't think so. This is the first I've heard of these rather intimate details, but please,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, and then really the only reason I put it in there, and, you know, later my mother was very upset with me, but the only reason I put it in there was really to indicate that I have some experience with intolerance and with, you know, a culture of hate.
Mm-hmm.
So I provided this example, something that, you know, I think to this day affects me in a negative way. But when we were there in the Soviet Union, I was a little kid in, you know, in kindergarten, or what would be called kindergarten, and we would be fed by the teachers in our little classroom, and we would have our biggest meal of the day. It would usually be, you know, something with meat and a potato of some sort. It would be the biggest meal of the day because, you know, most citizens of the Soviet Union couldn't afford, you know, to eat regularly or well, and this way the children got food.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't fed. I would sit there and I was not fed. And at the time, you know, I didn't know why, but I knew, even at 6 years old, not to tell my parents because, you know, I was worried my mother would approach the school and complain and they would take her away because, you know, you grew up in a culture knowing that any minute someone would come to take your parents away.
Yeah.
But my mother noticed I'd been losing weight, and so she kept nagging me, and I told her. And I remember this very vividly. She put on her dress. She had one dress. She put on her dress, and she took perfume that she had gotten like many years beforehand as a gift, and she didn't use it because she had gotten it. In fact, I think I remember the name of it was, I think Paris,
mm-hmm,
was the name of the perfume. And so she had it still in the wrapping and everything. And she took some money, and like we didn't have much money, and the little bit we had in a jar, bottle type of thing. And she went over to the school and she bribed them to feed me.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she thought that was enough because she thought by simply saying that they should feed me and paying them that they would feed me like they did the other children. The reality was, of course, that they didn't feed me like the other children. They fed me differently in ways that, you know, what they served was not edible. And so my mother had to continue bribing them to feed me in the exact same way as they fed the other children with the exact same food.
Hmm.
I brought that story up, you know, obviously it's not fun to talk about.
And yeah.
My mother was not pleased that I wrote about this. She's very upset after she had read it. But
well, and you intimate that you continue to have food issues.
Well, it's not that. It's not like I have issues such as anorexia or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I have a problem with foods in certain combinations, you know, because that essentially what they would do is they would take little pieces of food and make it into something that wasn't edible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have a big problem with the way food is presented, more
mm-hmm
so. I know it's bizarre, but I think a direct result of, you know, being forced to eat this garbage that they, you know, wanted to pass off as food when in fact it wasn't. You know, they would take, we'd have a little thing of milk, and they would take milk, and they would, you know, put it in the soup that they were giving us, and then I don't know what else they put in there, I don't know, maybe dirt, and that's what they would serve me. And, you know, and I had to eat it. And
this was, you were singled out because you're a Jew.
Well, that's the understanding. I mean, I don't, you know, that's what we all believe. I mean, it was a very anti-Semitic nation, and we were always being discriminated against. So there's no, you know, there's no reason to believe it. This wasn't the reason. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like anyone overtly said, you're a Jew, therefore you cannot eat.
Mm-hmm.
But it was quite clear that they were very... they didn't like me.
And did they disrespect and dismiss you in other ways?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was little, and that's the thing that my mother found very difficult after she read this. She called me crying and said, you know, we protected you. We did the best we could. I think she saw it as a referendum or something on her.
Oh.
But the reality is I do believe they protected me. I just think that, you know, no matter how much you protect your children, they're still aware of what's going on. And certainly in that example, I was directly affected by these people who, you know, had to be paid to treat me humanely. And, you know, I mean, I could tell you all sorts of stories, and we certainly don't have time for that, and I generally don't like to talk about those things because, you know, they're still painful memories for
mm-hmm
me.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I brought this up is to give it a context of my own experience with hate. And I might also add that, you know, what I expected happened exactly. The very people who in the past, I won't name names, who have, you know, basically called me a commie, a pinko, told me to go back to where I came from, after I wrote this piece, essentially came out and said that I had fabricated my childhood experience.
Oh, God.
And that, and, you know, it's ridiculous because what am I supposed to do? I didn't have evidence to take pictures as a kid of, you know, come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This is not, it's not like I'm out there, you know, selling my life like some, you know, some of these people.
Well, that just shows how morally bankrupt they are because they can't see the point you're trying to make. So they want to attack you. They want to swift boat you by distracting with little details and trying to undermine your credibility.
Right. Like, for example, they said, oh, you know, it didn't say, you know, Jew on your birth certificate. Really? Well, I'm looking at it. But I'm not going to scan my private documents. So I went online and I went to, like, the State Department, who specifically recounts and has example documents of exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so that was easy, you know, to kind
but,
of...
But it's in Cyrillic, right? So, you know, a stupid American...
No, it's. I saw it, there were English translations as well.
Uh-huh.
And I have both copies of mine, and when I had to apply for citizenship, I had it translated into English.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the points that I could get them on, I did, and said, okay, here, see this? And so then they dropped it. But the one point that is my own experience as a kid, you know, where there is no document, you know, that's what they stuck to, that's
yeah.
what I was making up. And to me, you know, I finally just said, you know what, go run wild. You know, I made my mother cry, apparently, over this, so I... the last time I write about my personal life, that's for sure.
All right, then we're going to play you out with a Genesis song called Mama.
Oh, okay.
We'll dedicate this to your mom. And I appreciate you, you know, opening your heart and your personal experiences to try to help people see the big picture. I think this is a very powerful piece, and I hope people can draw a good lesson from it. Thank you, Larissa.
Thank you.
Larissa Alexandrovna, she writes for RawStory.com, where she's managing editor. Read the piece we've been talking about at TheHuffingtonPost.com. Just search for Larissa, and you'll find it. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll go to Connecticut next.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
More and more women are choosing to breastfeed because of the advantages it has for babies. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to discuss the joys and challenges of breastfeeding, including what to do if you're having trouble nursing your baby and how you feel about breastfeeding in public.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. On both sides of the Israeli-Lebanese border, it's been a very violent day. Hezbollah rockets hit the Israeli town of Matula while Israeli ground forces battled with Hezbollah fighters in southern Lebanon. Reportedly, Israel's army suffered its worst losses of the year, 15 soldiers killed, and officials warn as many as 200 could die in the operation approved today.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Israeli armored columns moved into Lebanon under heavy artillery fire hours after the security cabinet approved an expanded ground offensive. Troops plan to move up to the Tani River, 18 miles from the border, in a bid to end rocket attacks and drive Hezbollah out. Officials say the operation could last 30 days.
Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah made a televised speech today saying he welcomes a showdown and vowing to escalate the battle on his side.
Nasrallah called on all Arab residents to leave the Israeli city of Haifa, saying that if Israel continued its attacks on Lebanon, that Hezbollah would retaliate strongly and with force against the city of Haifa.
CBS News reporter Kristen Gillespie in Beirut. Nasrallah also announced a policy shift today, saying Hezbollah would accept 15,000 Lebanese troops in the south. He lost the Connecticut primary and the support of Democratic leaders, but Senator Joe Lieberman refuses to give up.
I'm in the fight to the end.
He filed papers today to run as an independent. Lieberman's Democratic colleague, Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd, campaigned for him in the primary, but today threw his support to the winner.
This morning, I'm endorsing Ned Lamont for the United States Senate to be our candidate and to be the next United States Senator.
Dodd said he regrets Lieberman's decision to stay in the race. The drive to provide medical insurance for the youngest Americans appears to be paying off. CBS News correspondent Nick Young has that story.
There are still a lot of American children who lack health care coverage, about 8 million of them. But a University of Minnesota study has found that's an improvement.
There's a decrease in the number of uninsured kids by 2 million children.
Associate Professor Lynn Blewett says there are signs of a positive ripple effect.
There's a lot of evidence that suggests that coverage matters and getting them to school and keeping them healthy and keeping their parents at work.
Nick Young, CBS News.
While mothers are urged to watch what their kids eat, a Harvard researcher warns against going to the opposite extreme. Dr. Allison Field says moms who are too diet conscious can give their daughters the wrong idea.
Weight concerns are learned behaviors and attitudes. And I believe mothers or parents in general who are very concerned with their weight are passing on a message, and they may not be aware of that, but to their children, that weight is very important and looking a certain way is very important.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost 97 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet. You know I can't go anywhere without supporting my pit crew.
Step on it, Sterling. Only got 30 seconds.
That's my crew. Always keeps me on track. So as I was saying, my team at Waste Management has great job opportunities for drivers, mechanics, and technicians.
Go, go, go!
All right. Call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS to learn more.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
CompUSA email bag.
Today, Mike emails, Dear CompUSA, just how big is your back-to-school sale? Gargantuan, Mike. For starters, somebody's guaranteed to win $10,000 every day. 10 grand. Plus, there's hundreds of deals, like our lowest price ever on a 17-inch LCD monitor. Under 130 bucks after savings and rebate. It's now through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited. Store visit required. See store for details.
The movie World Trade Center opens in theaters around the country tonight. Rob Milford of Pittsburgh station KDKA talked to members of a preview audience.
Even 400 miles and 5 years removed from the attacks, this audience had a tough time watching the tragedy on film.
It's very moving. It gets you and it makes you remember things.
I'm just shocked at see what happened up there.
My daughter was there when it happened, and I don't think she could watch this movie. It's too realistic.
And that begs the question, is it too soon to put this real-life heroism on the screen?
No, I don't think it was too soon. It was long enough. Give it enough time.
Definitely not.
No.
No.
That's
a
good time for it right now.
No, I don't think it's too soon.
Rob Milford, CBS News, Pittsburgh.
A Brazilian man accidentally blew himself up at a workshop on the outskirts of Rio. Authorities say he tried to crack open a rocket-propelled grenade with a sledgehammer. Another worker was badly burned. The shop was destroyed and several cars outside caught fire. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
CompUSA email bag.
Jesse emails, Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse. $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited. Store visit required. See store for details.
You've
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. This is my favorite part of the program. As we launch into the free speech zone, we'll be taking your calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. If you're in Eureka, on the central coast of California, like Monterey, Salinas, or Santa Cruz, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we're still celebrating the results of a primary on the other side of the country. It was Connecticut that sent a very clear message to the nation yesterday by dumping Joe Lieberman and nominating Ned Lamont to replace him in the United States Senate by a margin of 58-42%. I'm sorry, 52-48. Let me get that right. 52-48. It was a 4-point spread. Returning to our program, he gave us a live update yesterday on election eve, or actually election night. It's Ari Melber from The Nation magazine. He's been posting pretty frequently at thenation.com. Hello, Ari.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I was delighted to see the outcome, exceptional turnout, a lot of new voters registered, and it appears that the Democratic hierarchy got the message.
I think so. There was a lot of resistance to the idea that Connecticut voters could choose their own representative, could replace an incumbent. And finally, after a lot of pressure from activists there and on the Internet, it looks today like the mainstream leadership of the Democratic Party is getting behind Ned Lamont, who is going to run this fall and lead Democrats on a pro-security, anti-Iraq war platform.
Yeah. I am really thrilled. I could have, as you heard, I slipped up in my description of the outcome because I did want a bigger margin for Ned Lamont. That was an unconscious slip. But I'll take it because given the power of an incumbent, Ned Lamont is lucky to have won by 4 points. And given the money that Lieberman spent, the attacks that he made on Lamont, the heavy guns that he brought out in the form of Bill Clinton and our junior Senator Barbara Boxer and many others, I'm pleased that Lamont prevailed.
Yeah, this was a huge upset victory. Lamont did so well that the expectations began rising a couple weeks before, and so some people, like yourself even, are saying this feels close. But in fact, when you look historically at the numbers and these situations, this is almost unheard of for an unknown individual with no current office. I mean, for your listeners, you know, Lamont does not hold any political office today.
Right, he was a former selectman. He was a former selectman, you know, a little village council post in his hometown.
Exactly. He had a small council post, which is smaller than school board, and then currently he's not holding any office. And he came out of nowhere, and on the power of his clear opposition to Lieberman and the capitulation of the Democrats in Washington, D.C., in conjunction, of course, with this failed Iraq war, he introduced himself to voters. He redefined Joe Lieberman, who had, as recently as 4 months ago, over 60% approval ratings.
Yeah.
And he redefined him with a fact-based, reality-based message about the failures in Iraq and the failures of some Democrats in Washington, D.C., to represent the people back home.
Yeah. Well, Ari, a couple of things. First of all, it's interesting. I saw an item at TruthDig.com that Karl Rove has reached out to Senator Lieberman's campaign and said, the boss wants to help you. Let us know what we can do. Now, how about another kiss? Don't you think? And don't you think it ought to be a Brokeback Mountain kiss this time? I mean, a real nice primetime male-to-male pucker.
Look, I think if the president wants to help, he should fly into Connecticut, where he is as deeply unpopular as in most other parts of the country, you know, and he should make his appearance and make it official. That is fine. Joe Lieberman is only in this race now for political survival. He is showing a real stunning arrogance, even for people who are critical of him. And as you know, and as people read TheNation.com, they'll see, I've made many policy-based reasoned critiques of his record. But even I was shocked when I watched the speech last night, and he said he's willing to take the political consequences for his positions, but he is rejecting the will of the voters to go run as an independent. That is not accepting the consequences. It is trying to wriggle out of them, and I don't think it's going to work.
Well, last night I had dinner, and then about 8 o'clock Pacific time, I flipped on the tube because I thought it was going to be a long night with extensive coverage. MSNBC had already folded up, and they were running some kind of a crime drama thing. It was Showbiz Tonight on Headline News. Fox was in the Middle East, and then CNN had Anderson Cooper anchoring their Connecticut primary coverage from a field in Israel wearing a flak jacket. So I didn't get what I was looking for, but shortly after I turned it on, Joe Lieberman was giving his concession speech. And, of course, that warmed the cockles of my ticker. And then I listened very carefully as he said that he rejects the divisive politics in Washington. And he implied that Ned Lamont is somehow a part of that, even though Ned has never served, and Lieberman's been there for 18 years. And then he went on to say he's a uniter, not a divider, or something close to that. It wasn't quite the Bush line. And then he blurted out that he was going to be running for 6 more years. So he really, I felt, was incoherent in trying to lay the groundwork for this very selfish decision to abandon the party that has supported him and gave him the vice presidential nomination just a few years ago in order to save his own skin.
Yeah, it is really stunning. And, I mean, the piece that I wrote for The Nation today about Ned Lamont's digital constituency talks about the early Connecticut activists, not even bloggers, but just, you know, local party town committee members.
Yeah, tell us about Keith. I want to single out Keith Crane because you profiled him, and his role, I think, is instrumental.
Keith, exactly, a good example, a retired truck driver who had never touched a computer till 2003, but had always been active in local politics. And he said the straw for him was after Abu Ghraib and the torture and the Gonzales memos to see Joe Lieberman confirm Alberto Gonzales's promotion and make statements that were basically apologizing for the kind of the kind of torture that Gonzales had helped facilitate. That was his last straw, and he made the kiss buttons that are now famous. He started one of the first websites, dumpjoe.com, and he went out in the community, and people gave him a thumbs up, and people embraced that message, and he said that's when he knew there was a hunger out there. Those people had voted for Joe before. When I was up in Connecticut yesterday, I talked to many people who voted, and even some had volunteered for Joe before. So these are not Johnny-come-lately. These are people who are active in politics, who had one time may have supported Senator Lieberman. They changed their mind as voters, but they have supported and put a lot into him, especially in 2000, blood, sweat, and tears. And so for him to turn around and act like this is such a slap in the face, and I think people across Connecticut are going to begin to sense that as this three-way race tries to get started.
Well, and for Lieberman to invoke the politics of personal destruction is over the top in a number of ways. First of all, to my knowledge, Ned Lamont never made any personal attacks on Lieberman. They're all about policy, all about his coziness with Bush. Secondly, that code phrase was invoked first by Bill Clinton as he was fighting back first over Whitewater, then over the Monica Lewinsky and impeachment scandals. And so to, you know, since he was the one who first hectored Clinton over his bad behavior, and then, of course, allowed Clinton to try to come to his rescue campaigning for him in the final days of this race, I mean, the inconsistencies really do rise to the level of incoherent hypocrisy.
Yeah, and that's what happens when someone is just grasping at any idea or argument to try to save their job. And that's why I don't think it makes any sense. I don't think it's going to fly.
Yeah. Ari, I want to share with you a personal email that was sent to me and millions of other Americans by Ken Melman at the Republican National Committee.
Because I'd love to hear it, Peter.
This is the angle of analysis that has been missing so far, and I know it's going to tie it all together for you. First of all, there is a photoshopped picture of Ned Lamont surrounded by Michael Moore, Marcos from the Daily Kos, John Murtha, and Howard Dean in the middle of a scream. And the headline over the photo reads, "Weak and Wrong, the New Democrat Party." And you know, Democrat is the slam, Democratic is the proper description. So it reads, "Dear Peter, in politics there are turning points that can define a political party for decades to come. Yesterday's defeat of Joe Lieberman in the Democrat primary in Connecticut is such a moment. Because he stood for a strong national defense and victory in Iraq, Joe Lieberman was successfully targeted for defeat. For a political party to reject a respected senator who just 6 years ago was its candidate for VP is virtually without precedent. It speaks volumes about the New Democrat Party. If you stand for a strong defense and victory in the war on terror, you have no place in the party and you must be purged. Watch the video and get the facts about what this means about the decline of the Democrat Party. From leadership that would pay any price, bear any burden to defend freedom, to leaders who want to cut and run from the war on terror and surrender other tools needed to keep America safe." I love that last line. Yeah, I want to give up my Fourth Amendment right. I want to give up my First Amendment right to keep America safe. This is just so insulting, but it's interesting to see the way they try to spin it.
Yeah, look, Ken Mellman is scared because he knows if the Democrats run strong against Iraq, he's going to be in the hole and Bush and the Republicans are going to do even worse in the midterm. Second, Ken Mellman is a liar and a smear merchant. And this is a guy who was deeply involved in 04 and the Swift votes and a lot of other things that have taken our politics into this ugly place that Americans don't like. But everyone knows Karl Rove and Ken Mellman do more of that than the other side. That's a fact. And Jesus and Muhammad could walk through New York City and announce an endorsement of the Democrats and world peace, and Ken Mellman would find something negative to say about it. What's important for voters to keep in mind is they're making noise and trying to get ahead of something that they are deeply concerned about, and you need no further evidence of that than something you and I have talked about before, the string, the parade of right-wing ideologues who reached out to support Joe Lieberman before he was defeated last night, from Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity to Ann Coulter and Bill O'Reilly. These are not people who root for the Democratic Party, but they were spinning all kinds of weird ideas about why Joe needed to be reelected and was good for the country. And now that he's been defeated and they've got a centrist businessman in Connecticut, who happens to be, like most Americans, deeply against this war, but very reasonable and really a great visionary on a lot of other issues, they're very worried about it. So what are they doing? They're bringing up a film director, Michael Moore, and a blogger that nobody's heard of outside of the progressive sphere. I don't think Marcos Moulitas, who's, by the way, a veteran and quite a smart writer, I don't think he scares people in the Midwest. They haven't heard of him, and if they read Daily Coast, they find themselves agreeing with those criticisms of Iraq.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot for joining us yesterday and today. I really appreciate your viewpoint, and you really bring a lot to it. Thanks for sharing.
Peter.
All right, that's Ari Melber. Read his work at thenation.com. Next, we go to your phone calls. It's wide open the rest of the hour, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll go into the free speech zone next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 Hollister Wright Road at Highway 25. It's an accident involving a car that hit a dog. CHP is en route. That's Wright Road at Highway 25 in Hollister. Marina, northbound Highway 1 before 8th Street. Solo accident. Car hit the guardrail. It's now been moved over to the right shoulder. CHP is currently on scene. Once again, this crash in Marina, northbound Highway 1 before 8th Street. Good news for the Santa Cruz Mountains. No accidents or stalls to report on Highway 17 as you make your way through Santa Cruz Mountains. Save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It's the best time to get the best deals of the year now at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins Show continues as we head into the free speed zone. All my lines are taken right now, but when one clears, call me. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. And you've heard what I think. Let's hear what you think. But first, we got David in Monterey. Good afternoon, David. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, Peter B. I want to borrow from the history, the recent history of the Democratic Party, with a new campaign slogan for the presidential race.
Great. Go ahead.
It's the war, stupid.
Oh, you've got that. And you know who needs to hear that the most is Democratic leaders.
Absolutely. I hope that this is truly a wake-up call. I think Mr. Lieberman was very, very surprised at the depth of discontent that there is with this war. And I think it cuts across a pretty broad base, too. I don't think it's limited to just Democrats, but I think Republicans are probably not happy with this war either and would like to see us just get out and let the folks over there kind of sort it out for themselves.
Well, I think you're generally right. I think that there are some core elements of the Republican base who will hang in with Bush no matter what. And I think there are some people who believe my country right or wrong and will never ask the appropriate questions. But I agree that the sea has changed and that Ned Lamont is really the most recent indicator of it. The other thing is we see the ripple effect. Hillary Rodham Clinton saw this coming as recently as last week and said, okay, let's attack Rumsfeld. This is my moment. And I don't think that her pivot is one that is going to change my view, but I do see it as significant in terms of how we can read the timid and often cautious, overly cautious leadership of the Democratic Party today.
I agree, Peter. Who do you see coming forth to be the candidate? I have mixed feelings about Hillary and whether she can actually do it. Who do you see on the horizon other than Senator Clinton that might be able to?
Well, in very broad terms, you know, without suggesting that I've analyzed this and run the numbers and you know, have a projection of how he would win, Russ Feingold is the senator who has distinguished himself with clear positions in opposition to this administration, clear accountability for the lawless spying at the NSA, and on a number of other fronts, he's not a single-issue guy. He's promoting single-payer health care in this country, and I think that he would be a great leader.
Is he out campaigning? Do you think he's in the mix right now?
He is. He's got toes in the water. But I think he needs encouragement, and if you want to give him some, I would I much appreciate it. Thanks for your call,
good.
David.
Thanks, Peter.
Now to Greg in Sacramento. Hello, Greg. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hello, Peter. How are you?
Doing great today, sir.
I probably won't get to hear this, being that you get the late night slot after A's baseball, but nonetheless, I was inspired to see if I could give you a call. And
well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. What's on your mind, Greg?
Well, you know, I just, your caller you just spoke with, he just prompted a thought. You know, I wonder how Barbara Boxer is feeling now, because if you remember, she went back there stumping.
Yes, she did.
For Joe. So I'm thinking that she's probably, deep in thought, saying, why did I go out there? So,
well, and I think we need to remind her of that. Not in a way, you know, I don't believe it's valuable to be mean or vindictive, but the next time I see Barbara Boxer, I will let her know that I support her 90% of the time, maybe even 95% of the time, but when she campaigned for Joe Lieberman, I did not approve.
Well, yeah, neither did I, but you know what, I was trying to do three things at once, and I was looking at the results off the Hartford Current, the paper there.
Sure.
And it was showing that Lamont had only like about a 9,000 vote lead, and I thought, you know, if this thing ends and it's close, that he's going to, you know, Lieberman, I call him Lieber Dude,
yeah.
that he's going to start kicking and crying. You know, and I was just waiting for that to happen. That was the thought, but then I went on to Democratic Talk Radio and saw that somebody posted on there that he conceded. And mm-hmm. I started looking around and I said, oh boy.
Well, he conceded kinda, dude. And I do hope that people will prevail upon him to drop out of the independent race, because that's a risk that nobody needs to take. And I would rather see us move forward with a very solid, unified front with Ned Lamont as a major standard bearer heading into these midterm elections. Greg, thanks for the call from Sacramento. And, you know, we got an opening for Vice President of Marketing in Sacramento. You interested?
Absolutely.
Just email 10 of your friends tonight and tell them Peter B. Collins is on KSAC from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., except when the A's are playing.
Okay.
All right, Greg, thank you very much.
All right, later.
More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B. is my toll-free number.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
More and more women are choosing to breastfeed because of the advantages it has for babies. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to discuss the joys and challenges of breastfeeding, including what to do if you're having trouble nursing your baby and how you feel about breastfeeding in public.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Listeners to our live broadcast struggling through afternoon traffic. I hope you can drive 55, 65, hey, 75 if possible. And just the other day, I was tooling around, and who was driving in front of me in traffic but the Red Rocker himself, Sammy Hagar. He's the former lead singer of Van Halen. He's driving a little Volkswagen Cabrio well under the limit. And that's bad for your image, Sam. Last hour, we heard a powerful testimonial from Larissa Alexandrovna. She usually presents breaking news and in-depth coverage from her investigations. But she went very personal and talked to us about her reaction to Mel Gibson's drunk driving episode with the anti-Semitic slurs that he issued. I was very touched by it, and if you didn't hear it, I suggest you go to HuffingtonPost.com, put the name Larissa in the search box, and you'll be able to find her postings. So this one was very powerful. And as a footnote, a candidate for statewide office here in California, right-wing knuckle-dragger Tom McClintock, has said that he will no longer use a fundraising letter sent on his behalf by Mel Gibson. Maybe he figured out that nobody was going to respond with a check, just with some sort of an insult. So people do live and learn. Next up, we go to David in Humboldt. Hello, David. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter.
Hi.
You had a guest on a little bit earlier talking about resource extraction of oil in California. I forget the guest's name.
Well, we talked to two people, author Tom Mast and then Youssef Rob from the Yes on 87 campaign.
Great stuff. The thing that was interesting that I heard, I guess I don't know which one of them saying, that timber, for example, pays for their extraction, and they
right.
mentioned a couple others, but that's the one I just want to stay right on point.
Okay.
Timber does not pay for their extraction. It's still subsidized. It's so corrupt. Republicans and sadly many Democrats, too, are still receiving the gross campaign contributions. Same story as always. And in turn, giving off these public sales of timberlands.
But David,
it's worse than that because it drives the price of timber down. So large private timber owners end up having to log more of their lands. The whole thing is so corrupt.
But you know
they are not paying for it.
You know that it's all been sanitized because Pacific Lumber changed its name to Palco.
Yeah, and it's worse than that up here. Not to get into the details of how crazy the timber wars are.
Well, go ahead. Give us a couple of details. It's going to be
one of the details is this: they're still legally spraying herbicides and pesticides down on the herbicides down on the ground when they're done with what they do in order to make sure they grow their tree farms and
mm-hmm.
this is private land. And to some extent, I have to admit they're induced to do this because of the subsidized sale of timber out of our private forest, I mean our public forest.
Right.
This is something that's been ongoing for some time now, and it has really been the demise of our forest to the point where when they talk about, oh, we'll save a little bit of this, what's left, a little bit of that, what's left, that's been going on so long that actual roadless areas are down so much. If people look at a map and they see their road and it looks like light green on the map, that means nothing. It's
mm-hmm.
timberland or private land. The actual roadless areas are so few and far between. And the reason why I mentioned, since you asked for a detail of the herbicides, is, of course, these are organochlorines hailing back to chemicals that are not unlike Agent Orange. These are basically, they're similar to dioxins. They're organochlorines. They're persistent. They do go into the watershed, and they do go downriver. There's no evidence to support this because scientific studies haven't been done, but if you look at Western California, Mendocino County, Humboldt County, Sonoma County,
mm-hmm.
high rates of cancer, specifically breast cancers in women.
Yeah.
There's no way to relate it, but no one's done the studies. We do know that these chemicals are continuously sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem out there.
Yeah.
But just to mention that I'm talking about public lands now, our private lands, but on public lands, when they're allowed to go in there, like we're talking about the bigger companies, Weyerhaeuser, Georgia Pacific, Louisiana Pacific, these larger companies,
mm-hmm.
Louisiana Pacific, sorry.
Yeah.
They are able to log our lands on our tax dollars, and it's under the guise of, oh, we provide some jobs, or there's some
mm-hmm.
way, or they're trying to tie it to giving some money to communities and schools,
yeah.
And it's all a farce, and what happens is they do log up our public lands, but the companies don't pay for anything. They literally don't pay for the
mm-hmm.
road building, the site surveying, they don't pay for those herbicides
yeah.
to get sprayed down when they do.
David, I want to cut in. I appreciate you setting the record straight. I got a bunch of calls here, so
okay,
I want to move on.
Thank you very much,
but
Peter.
I want to suggest that you drop an email to Youssef Rob, R-O-B-B, at yeson87.com and pass that info along to him.
Oh, yeah, and nothing against him. I'm all for it.
Right. No, I also appreciate we like facts over fiction.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Very important. Thanks for your call.
Good afternoon.
Now to Xavier in Santa Cruz. Hello, Xavier. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. It seems to me you're talking about Lieberman and how he did concede, but he said, I'm going to go right back in there and run as an independent. And just what I wanted to point out was that how he relates to Democrats versus how he relates to Republicans. Whenever he was a vice presidential candidate,
yeah.
It seemed that he threw in the towel really quickly. And just his response to losing to a Republican versus losing to a more progressive Democrat, the contrast there.
Well, that's a very interesting point, Xavier. The other part is that up until, say, Tuesday at noontime, he was talking about what a loyal Democrat he's always been and how he's delivered for the party and all those kinds of things. And so for him, just a few short hours later, on the losing end of an election, to have this rebirth as an independent, and really just to kiss goodbye all the loyalties that he invoked to try to save his ass.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So okay. I hope that he will read the polls and the reaction from many Democrats across the country and end his quixotic independent campaign, but time will tell.
Thanks.
Thank you, Xavier. Now to Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm going to phrase this. I'm going to try to be concise. I know you got people waiting, but this is my take on what's going on in the so-called war.
All right.
Okay. If we don't address the abuse of what's going on in Israel, well, let me put it this way. If Condoleezza Rice, okay, this current disagreement between her and Bush, now, if Aunt Jemima's not careful, she's going to find herself off the porch and in the fields picking cotton, to use a metaphor from Hillary, and guess who's going to be put into that seat because of the unlikable character he is and this nutcase in the White House that likes him. Lieberman will become the Secretary of State because he will very efficiently enunciate the United States policy toward Israel, and I'll leave that at that. Let the people take that for what it is, and we need to take a close look at the abuses and the crap really going on with the Federal Reserve, the way it plays against the national economy, especially with this off-budget war economy. These issues are going to affect every household, and even though it's not the most thrilling of subjects, I'm looking at it, and I'll be talking to you about that on the air.
Okay, Ben, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.
The one thing that gets in the way of your scenario about the future of Joe Lieberman,
yes,
is that he would have to be confirmed by the Senate. And that's not.
You don't think that's going to happen if the Bush, you know, remember Bush, he doesn't like, nobody tells the Fuhrer no. They wind up gone, and then Condoleezza will be pretty soon. She's going to be shut up, given the Colin Powell treatment, and then she's going to be making an announcement. I'm going to have to spend more time with my family, which is a way of saving their resume.
Well, she better get a family first. Thank you,
Ben.
There you go. 888-5 Peter B. There's a line open if you'd like to join us here in the free speech zone this afternoon. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Line 5 is John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John.
Peter, a week or so ago, weren't the polls from Connecticut showing a 13% lead?
There was a 56-41, and then it tightened to like 52-46.
Why did it tighten so much?
Well, I think because of all the activity and the desperation. We had Clinton come in and the parade of Democrats. Labor kind of hunkered down and tried to enforce some unity among its members. And so there was a concerted effort, and I think that's what closed the gap. What's interesting is that over the weekend, they announced that Lieberman was canceling his Get Out the Vote effort in order to put more money into TV ads that would address his problems with the war on Iraq. And that seemed to be mistaken, given that it ended up being only a 4-point spread. It's possible that his Get Out the Vote effort could have made the difference there.
I heard Lamont say two things I didn't like at all this morning. First, he went out of his way to compliment and thank Lieberman, which just almost bowled me over, because the fact that Lieberman is making such a point of staying in the race, are you going to thank somebody for doing that?
Well, that's a pretty standard morning after gentleman's approach to politics, so I wouldn't put a lot of investment in that, John.
I don't know whether I am or not. It just surprised me because...
I mean, do you want him to call him a schmuck or what?
don't say anything. Why thank somebody when there really isn't? I mean, is that what we should have, is just some posturing like that? I would like to see that kind of stuff stopped.
Well, but I think it's pretty trivial because let's counter this way. Last night in his concession that led to the renewal of his candidacy, Lieberman talked about the politics of personal destruction, the lack of bipartisanship in Washington, and suggested that Lamont is part of that problem. Now, Lamont's never worked in Washington, so that's a real stretch to try to take the ultimate outsider and make him an insider for the purposes of campaign framing. And then you have to look at, just what Lieberman said, because he is trying to make the case that his self-interest matches the real interests of the people of Connecticut. And as I pointed out earlier to Ari Melber, to my knowledge, Ned Lamont has issued no personal attacks on Joe Lieberman. But Lieberman is trying to pretend that he is a victim of this insurgent, upstart, liberal, dangerous, destructive to the party kind of momentous effort. And so I don't think this is going to square, because I believe that most of the people of Connecticut know who won their primary, and the Democrats at minimum will be supporting him in November. Now we've got Karl Rove entering the picture, offering to help Senator Lieberman, and I'm both amused and a little concerned about that, because not everything Karl Rove does is known by the public before Election Day, and there are also some things that he appears to do during the vote counting that we have to be concerned about. But I think that's the greater issue here. And if Lamont is being polite as a way of trying to diminish the attacks from Lieberman and also, you know, show the people of Connecticut that he is a gentleman and a good person, I don't really hold that against him.
I hope that's what it was really about, and mm-hmm. not just trying to immediately, when so many politicians, as soon as they win, they're immediately thinking, or their advisors are reminding them of this, that you've now got to broaden your base.
Right.
And you start saying things and taking positions that immediately start to undercut what you got elected for in the beginning.
Right. But, John, what is worse is in a hard-fought campaign when the loser has to embrace the winner the morning after. That's much worse than Ned Lamont saying gentlemanly things about Joe Lieberman. Thanks for your call, John.
Okay.
More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. There's room for your call. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman. Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Marina, northbound Highway 1 before 8th Street, solo car crash, car hit the guardrail, it's been now moved over to the right shoulder, CHP on scene. Getting reports of some heavy traffic on northbound Highway 1 through Castroville from 183 over to Dolan Road, so heavy traffic on Highway 1 through Castroville. Santa Clara County, east 152 before Fifield, it's a stalled car partially blocking the right lane. Once again, that's east 152 at Fifield. Laurels Grade Road, just south of Highway 68, it's a motorcycle down in the roadway. CHP is en route. Clean your engine and improve gas mileage with Tekron Fuel Injector Cleaner. And now at Napa, when you buy one bottle for just $6.99, you get a second bottle free after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
On the Peter B. Collins Show. Wait a minute, wait a minute. It's not time for that. My little machine got ahead of itself here. Let's see if I can find the tune I was looking for here. Ah, it disappeared. So stand by for Roy Rogers coming up in a few minutes. It is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. More in just a second here. Tomorrow in our first hour, Scott Ritter, who was a United Nations weapons inspector, and served in the U.S. Marine Corps before that, and who, in my view, was an honest whistleblower about the phony WMD claims about Iraq. He's going to be on our program, and one of the things we'll be discussing is a recent poll, recent from July of 2006, showing that almost 50% of Americans polled believe the lie that Saddam had WMD, and that's why we had to invade Iraq. And here's another disturbing poll result that shows how clueless too many Americans are. 30% of Americans cannot say what year September 11th occurred in. That's right. They can't recall when our nation was attacked. 30% can't give a correct answer. 6% give an earlier year, 8% give a later year, and 16% admit it, they just have no frickin' idea. And if you're groping for the answer, it was 2001. We go to Steve in Monterey. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I can follow that, Peter. Listen, and I'm normally from Watsonville, and I got some details of that. I'm standing at the boycott of the travel lights here in Monterey. But first, let me tell you about my phone call to Barbara Boxer this morning.
Great.
You know, she went to Connecticut and supported Lieberman along with Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton said that she would back the Democratic victor.
Right.
I don't believe Barbara stated that explicitly. So I called her and asked her if she would mind backing Ned Lamont. And I'd like all our listeners who have, you know, her number on our speed dial to give her a call today or tomorrow and do the same if they have a mind to.
Did you get an answer?
I got an answer right away. I called the D.C. number this morning about, you know, like 10 o'clock their time.
No, I understand. I understand they answered the phone, but did they answer your question?
Oh, I didn't have a question. I just said I would like to have Barbara Boxer support Ned Lamont.
Okay.
I'm a California voter. I'm a California Democrat, in fact, I told her.
Well, and let's up the ante here, Steve. If you get through to Boxer's office, ask her to support Lamont and ask ask Joe Lieberman to discontinue his plan to run as an independent. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Accept the reality.
I'm not sure if on this new number you got, I didn't hear the local feed between, you know, the on the hold button there.
No, you listen to music that I like.
Yeah. So I didn't hear if Larry Olson gave us an update, but I just came in Highway 1, and it's a parking lot going out of Fort Ord and by Moss Landing.
All right. Well, thank you.
The listeners, the traffic down here is horrible since you've discontinued the local line, Peter.
Oh, I'm very...
It'd be nice if you could reconnect that 849 or whatever it was, for 899.
Well, it's too complicated to wire the phones in that way, but we keep the traffic reports on KRXA. Now, Steve, tell us what's going on there. I'm aware of the Travelodge dispute. It's been going on for years. I support the striking, and they're not striking, but the workers there who have tried to establish their rights, and the owner has cut their benefits. I believe it was almost 2 years ago that he just unilaterally did so. We lost Steve on his cell phone there, but if you're in the vicinity, I believe it's the Travelodge on Munras in Monterey, drive by and give a toot of your horn to show some solidarity for those workers who are fighting for their rights. Judith in Santa Cruz, you're next here on the Peter B. Show.
Gosh. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Thanks. Hey, when I listen to you talk about the polls of the Americans, 50%, sometimes I keep hearing that. I keep wondering who are being polled, you know?
Yeah, it
who
is.
Who are being polled?
Well, apparently there are people who only watch American Idol and have no clue about what's going on in the real world.
So I think we should take that into account when we consider all that, but, you know?
Well, but at the same time, I blame two factors. One is the media that feeds us Mel Gibson when there's a, you know, a conflagration in the Middle East.
Oh, they're so guilty. It's ridiculous.
And the people who don't even bother to watch the misleading news product that is produced for them because they'd rather watch a soap opera, a reality show, a game show, or a sporting event.
Which is why I'm calling, really, to say, while people go on to Huffington Post to read Larissa's piece, then either before or after, have you seen it, you click on to Contagious Festival, and there are this whole bevy of hysterical videos that are political in nature with funny songs and animation, and the one that's number one right now is called Joe and Dub's Fabulous Wedding.
Oh, really?
Starring George W. Bush as the groom and Joe Lieberman as the groomed. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm just watching it again. You should see the cast of players and the person who catches the bouquet. It's brilliant. And all these ones on there, they're just hysterical. They had one last month that won it was I Miss Monica.
Well,
you'll love it, Peter. You'll love it.
Right after the show, I'm going to take a look. Matt was playing it during the break, and I saw
all great.
A few frames of it.
I'm just so happy because I just got on the Internet. Well, kudos to you. Love you.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith. Thanks for the tip.
Okay.
And up next, we go to Larry in Aptos. Hello, Larry. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say a couple of things first. I'm sure glad that Lamont beat Lieberman.
Amen.
Looks like Lamont's going to have to beat him a second time. And despite all what the pundits are saying, I think Lamont this time is going to beat him by 20 or 30 points. In fact, I think it's going to be so bad that maybe Lieberman will sniff the air and decide to drop out.
I hope you're right.
A month ago.
Yeah.
I emailed Boxer about a month ago and got a response that she favored Lieberman because he had worked so hard in Congress and the Senate to compromise with the Republicans on a number of issues. And I kind of thought that's just bogus because, you do have to negotiate. You do have to compromise with your enemies. But when they're coming at you with such a extreme right-wing agenda, which so many senators and so many congressmen have, and then they don't even allow for the debate.
Larry, you've got it right there. You've nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Lieberman offers this phony sense of bipartisanship, which simply makes him an easy mark to be co-opted, manipulated, or bought off by the Republicans.
Absolutely.
He doesn't operate from a position of strength where he can honestly broker compromises with people who are honestly brokering compromises to him.
Yeah.
The Republicans take, and Joe Lieberman has been willing to give on far too many occasions.
Well, you know, following up on that, by the time I got the response, the situation between Israel and Lebanon had started. So I followed up with another response to Boxer asking if she was going to support the Israeli Luftwaffe bombing the crap out of Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten a response about that yet, but I have to tell you something.
Make it quick.
Real quick, I remember the late Mae Brussel way back about 20 years ago during the Iran-Contra hearing. She said Elliot Abrams and Richard Pearl and Michael Ledeen were Jewish Nazis, and she was right.
Thank you very much, Larry. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same station.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As Israel prepares to escalate the fighting in South Lebanon, a word of caution from the Bush administration.
The Israeli government needs to take the utmost care to avoid any loss of innocent life.
State Department spokesman Sean McCormick. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports the Israeli government has decided to send thousands more troops across the border.
A cabinet minister said the operation would last up to 30 days, but Hezbollah is proving a determined foe. At least 15 Israeli troops were killed today, making this the bloodiest day for the Israeli military so far. The Israeli media quoted senior military officers as saying losses could run into the hundreds. The plan calls for a thrust as far north as the Litani River. Everything south of there is already a free fire zone, with Israeli warplanes hitting any vehicle that breaks a round-the-clock curfew order.
Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev says they do not plan to occupy South Lebanon again.
We are prepared to withdraw the moment it is understood that an Israeli pullout will not create a vacuum that Hezbollah can just move into and reestablish itself. No one wants to see that.
Like other Democrats, Senator Chris Dodd abandoned his Connecticut colleague Joe Lieberman today, throwing his support to Ned Lamont, the winner of yesterday's primary. Dodd isn't happy with Lieberman's decision to run as an independent.
I regret that decision, but that was his decision to make. And certainly will have, I hope, a spirited campaign if he stays in it.
Lamont and his supporters exploited Lieberman's support for the war in Iraq.
A CBS News New York Times exit poll shows 78% of Democratic primary voters in the state disapproved of the decision to go to war with Iraq. It's a sentiment that anti-war bloggers tapped into. They waged a successful cyber campaign against their three-term senator. The message? Anti-war and anti-Bush means anti-Lieberman.
CBS News correspondent Trish Regan. Firefighters north of Spokane believe they've got a handle now on a fast-moving, destructive wildfire. CBS News reporter Stefan Kaufman tells us it was started by someone burning trash, even though that area hasn't had rain for 7 weeks.
There are signs throughout this region saying, you know, you cannot burn. It is very dry. Do not burn anything. Burns would be illegal. And this homeowner went ahead and burned trash behind his home. Sparks got picked up, sent into the forest. The result was 900.